Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
What do you put in? Do you put raisins in them or...?
Now, you see, my flapjacks have... I've had to make two bunches at home. I've been doing them for the kids' lunch.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying... I've decided... I was buying all these cereal bars that I decided, why not just make my own?
Yeah.
So I did try to sneak linseed and raisins and stuff in, but they sussed it out pretty quick.
Of course they did. They're children. They've got a sense of taste.
So I had to make two batches, one which is just the oats, and one I quite like, the one with the linseeds and the raisins and stuff. So.
But the oat, the regular flapjack, if done correctly, not left in the oven for too long with the...
chewy.
With the right chew on them, like with lots of golden syrup, obviously, which is probably the bad stuff, which is in life generally, the bad stuff is generally the fun stuff in every facet of life.
But still, I figure it's got to be better than half the stuff you buy, doesn't it? At least I know the ones I make are just oats and sugar.
You know what's going into them.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So you're going to make something today.
I was. Well, that's unlike you. I arrive and there are baked goods, and I enjoy baking. I've been baking quite a lot lately, and because my daughter has developed an interest in baking,
wonderful,
so we're learning
child
together. And in fact, she wanted to come in today, Ryan, but they're having friends over. Yeah, they're on their
play
school
dates
break.
Going on.
They're play dates. I'm sure you wouldn't have liked a school trip of play dates.
I've had many groups in to see us here at different times of the day, coming through the window or coming, not through the window, passing the window. Some of them come through the door then.
Well, there you go.
So she would have been most welcome with, especially with cake.
You know she's going to give out to me now if I go home.
You tell her that I was looking forward to meeting her. Next time.
Okay.
Next time. But yeah, there's our previous guest kindly brought in plates of stuff.
Yeah.
But as I said to her face, I just all that gluten-free this and lentil that. Just give me a cake with proper recipe. Stop taking the fun out of me baking, everyone.
I'm partial to a good cake. Yeah, I'm a big believer in moderation and everything. So it's, you know, moderation. But I don't skimp when I'm baking. I like, if I'm going to have something sweet, I'm going to have something sweet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Anyway, Nina Byrne, it's nice to see you. Nina Burns, I should say. Good to see you as always.
Nice to be here.
And obviously, we have lots of questions for you. So let's get down to business. This one says, Maeve, any chance you could ask Dr. Nina about carpal tunnel syndrome? As I've had this for a few years now, I've been taking vitamin B6 and wearing a support on my hand at night, and it helped out. But the last 6 months, I've been waking up at all hours with the pain, which is excruciating, and I have pins and needles all day. My hands are my livelihood, which is anything I do. Which is something, anything I do, just misprint there. So, carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel syndrome is where a nerve going into your hand, the median nerve, gets pressed as it passes through the wrist. Okay, there's a tunnel there, which is surrounded by tissue and ligaments called it's the carpal tunnel, and the carpal being the bones in your wrist. So when the nerve passes through, if there's any inflammation there, it presses on the nerve and it causes a pain that shoots up your hand, mainly into the middle fingers of your hand. It can be very painful in some people. There are certain things that make you more prone to it, pregnancy being one. Some women get it when they're pregnant. A number of other conditions can cause it. If it's something like pregnancy, they'll quite often treat you with a splint, which is a special sort of wristband that you wear that holds the wrist in a certain position that stops the pressure into the hand. Because obviously in pregnancy, then once the baby's born, the problem normally goes away. There are some people where it lasts longer. And what I would say, if the splint is not working, I'm not that aware of the evidence for vitamin B6 in it, but, you know, B vitamins are important in nerve transmission. But in carpal tunnel, there's pressure on the nerve, and there is actually surgery. If it's not working, they sometimes do a release. So they actually do surgery at the wrist to release the pressure in the tunnel, and it can work very well. So it sounds like if you've been using the wrist, and especially, as you said, your hands are your livelihood, and the pain is waking you at night, it's time to go back to your doctor and maybe be referred to a specialist about it.
What can you advise for a windy tummy?
A windy tummy in an adult or a child?
Let's go for an adult.
In an adult, look, we all have wind in our stomach. It's a breakdown of food. So, you know, one of the most common causes of wind is the certain foods we eat. So we all talk about, you know, the rhyme about beans, because obviously they're called cruciferous foods.
And they're good for the heart. Isn't that what they say?
They create a lot of wind. So do certain vegetables. In irritable bowel syndrome, you know, there are theories that there are certain foods that break down or ferment in our guts. There's a diet used in irritable bowel syndrome called the low FODMAP diet, FODMAP being an anagram for the various sugars. And in some people, certain foods create sugars which ferment in the gut and create wind and bloating. Okay, so sometimes if you suffer very badly with wind, following this low FODMAP diet might help. it needs to be done with a dietitian. It's an extremely restrictive diet initially. You have to cut out a whole load of foods and then you reintroduce them. Another thing that works very well is peppermint. The whole tradition of eating mint after meals is it does actually aid digestion. So drinking peppermint tea, taking peppermint oil capsules can actually help break up wind and in some people cause, you know, reduce that discomfort. There are some medications we prescribe that stop spasm in the bowel because, again, a lot of the wind is in people who have irritable bowel type syndrome. So you get this kind of cramping in the bowel and spasm and trapping of wind. So the medication that just soothes and relaxes the bowel allows the wind to pass through and you don't get that trapping, which is where you get the pain. Most of it is down to diet and whether it's, you know, certain foods you're eating or the way your body is reacting to certain foods you're eating. So it's always worth talking to someone, going to see a dietitian and reviewing your diet.
Texas, my five-year-old son's two top front teeth have become grey-looking in colour. He's not a big fizzy drink or junk food eater. Any thoughts? It's more dental, rather, is it?
Yeah, go to your dentist. There is an antibiotic that given to children or given to pregnant mums can cause changes in the colour of the teeth. Now, it's pretty much never used anymore in children and in pregnant women, so it's very unlikely that he would have had that. It can also be just damage to the tooth itself. So I don't know if you ever banged his tooth, if there's any damage to the root of that tooth. Mm. Go along and talk to the dentist. They'd be your best advisor on that matter.
Restless leg syndrome, Nina.
Very common and very distressing to people and people who sleep with people who have restless legs. Okay, restless legs is this condition where you get this really unpleasant feeling is all they can describe it as, because it's not necessarily that they have to move their legs. They often feel like they're hot or itching or something crawling in them, but the only relief they get is by moving the legs or kind of getting out of bed. It disrupts sleep for the person who has it, but it also disrupts the sleep of the person that they sleep with, and quite often people end up sleeping in separate rooms because of it. It has been linked to low iron, so getting your blood checked actually is worth doing. It has been linked to low levels of B vitamins, so there are simple tests that can be done. If that's not the cause, there are a number of different medications are used for restless legs, varying from tablets to patches, and they work in some people. So do go along and talk to your doctor, but don't underestimate it, because chronic lack of sleep, you know, has a huge effect on your health.
Yeah, okay. Now, another one says, I have SLE, systemic lupus erythematosus. Okay, and it's flaring quite badly with joint pain. I got a steroid injection in the hospital 3 weeks ago. It's not working whatsoever. My GP wants to give it to me in tablet form now. I'm scared to take too much as I had a bad experience on steroids before my hair started to fall out, nosebleeds. They keep telling me to stop stressing as it is possibly causing the flare-up. I'm doing my leaving cert, but I'm pretty calm. So it can't just be that. I wonder what Nina's advice might be.
SLE is a chronic autoimmune condition that can cause various types of arthritis, and in, you know, in more severe cases it can have effects on the kidneys and various tissues in the body. So when it flares, quite often people get joint pain, they can feel really, really tired, they can feel very unwell. Steroids traditionally were the medicine that we use to calm down flares of any kind of arthritis, so they still do have a role and there's no doubt they can be very effective. Most people who have SLE would also be attending a specialist clinic, because there are newer drugs that often people with these conditions would be on more long term to kind of keep the immune system calm, and they're called immunomodulator drugs, and you know there are newer ones that are much more effective. So I would assume if this person has a diagnosis of SLE that they are attending a specialist, and if it has flared, if you haven't had a review recently, it would be worth talking to them. Steroids can work, you know, and often you'd be given steroids for a few days or a few weeks just to calm things down, but you normally would link back in with your specialist. And most of the rheumatology clinics, you know, most of the patients who attend them, there's a rheumatology specialist nurse that you can ring and they will feed back and arrange an outpatient appointment for you if you need to be seen. So I guess I'd probably have more questions for this person to see what medication that they're on to control the SLE on an ongoing basis. Mm. It's horrible to be told. There are so many conditions that stress can make worse. And I always think it's really hard for people when you say don't stress, because clearly if you're facing exams and you're in pain and everything's flaring,
it's stressful.
And he or she's had a bad experience on steroids in the past, it's going to be impossible not to stress when everyone's telling you. And the more you tell someone to calm down, the more stress they get. So look, this isn't your fault. That's the other thing. You know, just because you're stressing is not the only reason it's flared. This can flare for no reason. But do link back in with your team looking after you.
Nina, I miscarried at 12 weeks about 9 months ago, so we're trying again. My husband has discomfort when we have intercourse. It's very tight for him and he can't climax. We don't want to use too much lubricant as it could prevent pregnancy, and we don't believe it's a fertility issue.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he needs to go along and be checked out. I mean, I don't know if he has a very tight foreskin or if he's any problems himself that need to be treated. So that sounds like he needs to be examined and any conditions there need to be checked. you know, they have conceived before, so clearly they are both capable of parenting a child. So that's good. And it's an awful thing when you've had a miscarriage, but it is a positive thing that they were able to achieve a pregnancy. And having had a miscarriage at less than 12 weeks, statistically, no way reduces their chances of having a successful pregnancy down the road. But clearly, intercourse should not be uncomfortable for either partner. And if it's chronically uncomfortable for somebody, they need to go and be examined. There are a number of different conditions could cause it.
Okay. My 16-year-old daughter had major surgery for scoliosis in October. Recovered well, but lost over a stone and is now 7.5 stone in weight. She's tall but slight. 5 months on, the weight has stayed off and it upsets her as most of her clothes are hanging off her. She's taking Pharmaton and eating fairly well, but is there anything else she could or should do?
She said eating fairly well. Clearly, if she lost weight due to surgery, the only way to gain weight is obviously to eat plenty. However, if she is eating very well and not gaining weight, it's always worth checking bloods. Totally unrelated to the scoliosis conditions, like an overactive thyroid, and that can lead to weight loss that's unexplained. So if someone is eating lots of calories and not gaining weight, always go along and have a checkup. There are some people, as you know, Ryan, who are naturally very slim and can eat and eat and eat and they won't gain weight.
It's true.
And I always feel sorry, you know, for girls particularly, actually, who are naturally very, very slim and find it difficult to gain weight. I do actually feel sorry for them because a lot of people look and they actually want to gain weight, and then people who are always trying to lose weight will look at them and go, what do you have to bother? You know, you can eat what you like. But actually, it's very distressing for someone to have to shop in the children's section or not to be able to find adult clothes that fit them. So I think, you know, go along to the doctor, have a checkup. She's had surgery, make sure everything's fine with the bloods and that, and then it'll be a case of maybe getting dietitian advice to gain weight. Dietitians are not only there to help you lose weight, they're very effective at advising you on how to eat well to gain weight.
I have a bulgy veins as a text on my finger, which today is rock hard and sore. Should I go to the doctor? Says Orla.
Bulging vein. If it's only a day or two of being sore, you could have injured it. So I just give it a few days. You can get clots in veins in your arms and hand as well, but it's pretty rare. So any pain that's only there a day or two, watch it. Other things in the fingers that can happen is you can get infections of the nail bed. So if there's any redness around the nail itself, go and get that checked, because actually finger infections need antibiotics quite quickly. You know, if you think about it, there's not a lot of room for swelling on your hands because there's just the skin and the bone. So any swelling is very painful. So the obvious vein could be that there's some swelling in the finger and there might be an infection there.
All right, then. Beth was on to say, what about when to seek help with fertility? I've been trying to conceive for 1 year and I had a miscarriage in December. I'm nearly 34 and had planned a big family. I'm worried the time is running out.
The general guidelines would be that if you're under the age of 35, that 80% of couples will conceive within 2 years of trying. So the general guidelines would be that you don't start investigating fertility issues unless they've been trying 2 years. Now, this lady has previously achieved a pregnancy, and again, it's devastating to have a miscarriage, but it's a positive thing that she achieved a pregnancy. It would imply that she is ovulating and that her partner has sperm that are effective. However, you know, you're approaching 35. Once it goes over 35, we would say within 6 months of trying, we'd start investigating. So if you've had a miscarriage, if you've been trying for a year since the miscarriage and nothing has happened and you're nearly 35, go along to your doctor. Your GP can do quite a lot of the tests. I mean, we can do the blood test to see, are you ovulating? We can just do general bloods, make sure thyroid again is fine. We do an internal exam. We can take swabs. Infections like chlamydia and that can make it difficult to conceive. We'd always do a smear test, because if you get, I know when patients come into Generation Health, I'd always try and do everything I can before they get referred. So at least when you go to a specialist, you're getting specialist advice and opinion. It's a terrible waste to go to your specialist to be told, go and have these bloods done, go and get your chlamydia test done, go and get your smear done, because that's delaying your appointment. So your GP should be able to do a lot of these tests. Go along, get examined, get advice, and then at that point, if nothing shows, then you can be referred on. Obviously, the partner also needs to be checked. They need an exam and they need a semen analysis.
Okay, our final one today is from Lindsay, who says, my 15-year-old son appears to have geographical tongue.
Yeah.
I've never heard this, which causes discomfort with certain foods. Any ideas what causes this and any cures?
The answer is no. I mean, geographic tongue can occur for no particular reason. We do, and some people end up, it's when you look at their tongue, it almost looks like a map. You get this kind of, you know, the whitish coating some people get in their tongue, but it almost looks like a map. There's areas that are red, which would be almost like the sea on a map, and then there's areas that are white that almost be like the
land. On the tongue
itself? On the tongue. So it kind of has that looking from space view of the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
So we call it geographic tongue. In some people, we do use antifungal treatments in cases of thrush or something in the mouth. It helps in some people. Again, we'd look for iron deficiencies, things like that. But in the majority of cases, you don't actually find a cause, and it doesn't cause any problems, and it settles itself eventually. So, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those things. We can't say it's definitely this, and it will definitely go away if we treat it. So it's a bit of hit and miss sometimes in some people. Yeah.
Nina, thanks so much. The weather was appalling during this item, and now as you finish, the sun is out again. So you're just going to get to the car.
Just in time.
And then the rain will come down.
I'm a good Irish lady. I always have an umbrella in my bag, Ryan.
Listen, thanks. Nice to see you. Enjoy your holiday. Bye.